Thank you, Joseph. We are so blessed here at Azalea City. We have had new members that have come our way that have made comments like, there are so many talented teachers here. And I agree with that. There's so much talent at Azalea City, and I am so thankful. I mean, just look at what was on in our leading of our services today. Joseph did a great job. Taylor, great prayer. Eli, great job reading to us from God's Word. And Jason, thank you for doing such an excellent job leading us in our song service. And by the way, Jason is teaching a class on Wednesday nights, and that's where people are learning these songs, and the message behind these songs are so beautiful. But the issue is there's a lot of great classes going on, right? I want to be in all of them. And so doing a great job, though. And then, Justin, appreciate your words today. But I do feel necessary to say, separate and apart from the song service is the lesson. By the way, it doesn't sound good. You're right, brother. No, great job. I love you. I appreciate you. Hey, a lot of great things going on here and a lot of great members. It is very fitting that we add to that. I am very excited today. And by the way, there is so much newness here. That is one great thing about our discipleship groups. And is when we have families place membership, David's getting them plugged in to the groups and all, but we've got to get to know one another. We've got to spend time learning each other and loving each other. But today, placing their membership with us is the Solomon family. That family is a large family, and I'm thankful for this great family. Brad and Marissa are the mom and dad, and then they have John Paul. John Paul is at college at Ole Miss. They have Evan, who is an 11th grader, Morgan, a 10th grader, Emma Kate, an 8th grader, and Brett, a 1st grader. The Solomon family's been visiting with us for quite some time, and today they came to me and said, hey, you got a couple minutes. We're ready to place membership. And I'm so excited. Let's welcome Solomon family. If you will, stand up, please. Good-looking family, man. A good-looking family. So excited about that. And so please get to know Brad, Marissa, and all their children. Again, they have one at college, but great family. Been able to spend some time just Brad and I, you know, he's into refereeing and sports and the big sports family, and so a lot in common there. But again, appreciate them, love them, glad they are part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. We are studying this year about being living stones. Living stones is a theme that we branch off of. In order to be a living stone, the first portion of my lessons this year, I want us to talk about the one who we are to be like. Remember, Jesus, that chief cornerstone, is who we branch off of. And so as we're talking today, I want us, as we continue studying about living like Jesus, to do exactly what Luke recorded that Joseph read to us from a moment ago, And what Eli read to us from, which will be our main text today, we've got to grow. Jesus, what did He do in Luke 2:52? He grew. He grew in stature, yes, but He also grew in wisdom. He grew in favor with God and man. If we are to be like Jesus, you can go ahead and pull the slides up, brother. If we are to be like Jesus, we've got to grow. And according to what Peter said, we've got to grow in grace and knowledge. If you will, turn in your Bibles to what Eli read to us from a moment ago, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Here's what Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Now, here's something that is very interesting to note now. Peter, who is Peter? We know Peter, right? He was a man who was a fisherman, who was a man who made some mistakes along the way, kind of like all of us, right?
But Jesus chose him. He chose him to be a disciple. And so he was a follower of Jesus. And he followed Jesus up until the point that he didn't, right? He didn't follow him at the crucifixion. He denied him there. And then Jesus knew that that was a moment, so he sent back for Peter. Remember, this is a man that Jesus gave the figurative keys to the kingdom, right? He said in Matthew 16 that he's going to give him the keys. And what do keys do? They open doors. Jesus needed Peter. And so Peter, when it's all said and done, after he has breakfast with Jesus and he's told to feed and tend the lambs, what does he do? He goes from there, and now he's an apostle, by the way. He went from being a disciple to now he's an apostle. And then he opens the doors and he becomes an evangelist. He's a preacher. And then ultimately he becomes an elder. And he's a writer. Remember, Peter, writing under the inspiration of Jesus, is a man who's been on a roller coaster in some ways. But he never quit growing. In order for Peter to get to the point that he is when he's writing this, as an apostle, as a preacher, as an elder in the church, he had to grow. And so he writes there, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say that was an option. It's not an option, is it? Again, you know, it's really silly to think about, but I think it illustrates the point. My children have grown, okay? Yes, they've grown physically. Madeline was the very first child that I brought up when she was a little baby as the preacher here and said, here is my daughter, and that kind of came, you know, to members of our congregation. That kind of became what we do. And so all that to say, she's grown, Bo has grown, but not have they just grown physically and in age, they've also grown in intellect, right? Could you imagine if my children were still walking around like they were toddlers? A little silly to think about, right? Very silly. But what would you think of me as a parent? What would you think of them as children? Now, again, the argument could be made that we encounter some people out there that still act like toddlers. I get it. But isn't it just logical sense that they're going to grow physically, but they have to grow in intellect. They have to grow in wisdom. They have to grow in knowledge. All these things. So it's not an option when you're raising children. Why do we think it's an option as God's children? It's not an option. We must grow. We must grow, as Peter says here, in grace and knowledge. In order to accomplish this, we've got to ask ourselves some questions. Number one, why must we grow? I think it's a fair question, right? Well, you might say, well, in order to grow, you've got to have faith, and I would agree with that. Listen, faith can't be static. Faith has to be something that is moving, that is active. If we do not have an active faith, we will not grow and we will perish. Jesus himself grew in his faith, right? Now remember, Jesus had sight. He saw God. He knew God. But he still grew in favor with God. He grew in his faith. He knew that God was going to be there for him, that he was going to take care of him. If Jesus, the perfect Son of God, grew in wisdom, and he grew in his relationship with God, how much more should you and me do it? Remember now, Jesus is the Son of God, but he grew. He grew, yes, in stature, but according to Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom, and he grew in his relationship with God. If it's that important for the Son of God, how important is it for us? Why must we grow? Number one, because we are called to imitate Christ. 1 John 2, verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Isn't it neat that sometimes as children they put on their, the girls might put on their mama's shoes and the boys might put on their daddy's shoes, and it's cute because they're walking in their parents' shoes. Now sometimes as parents we don't want them to follow us, right? But for the most part, I think, you know, if we're proud of where we are and we're happy with where we are and not content, but proud to be Christians and faithful Christians, we want our children to mimic us. But we will let them down. You know who won't? Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that we walk in His shoes. It's so important that we put Jesus Christ's shoes on and we follow Him and we walk like Him and we talk like Him and we react like Him and we have compassion like Him. We are called to reflect God through Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. We are called to imitate Him. If your faith and my faith does not transform our character, does not transform our knowledge, we will remain spiritually immature. Think about the 20, well, let's just go 19-year-old, they're still a teenager then, a 19-year-old child that still acts like they're two. Okay? That's not who we need to be spiritually. That's 17 years, right? 17 years in Jesus Christ, have you grown? 10 years in Jesus Christ, have you grown? 5 years, 1 year, 2 years, 30 years. Where are you? Are we growing? Are we imitating Him? Number two, we grow because if not, stagnation leads to spiritual decline. Stagnation leads to spiritual decline. In fact, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, we're not going to read that. I mean, there's a time that you need to write that down and you need to go back and study it, but I am going to remind you what the Hebrew writer said there. He said that he's rebuking Christians, right? Remember the book of Hebrews, the Christians were going back into Judaism and they were struggling with that. And so they were regressing instead of progressing. And so that regress, the Hebrew writer says there, If you do not do this, it's going to be bad. And what did he say? Get off the milk. Get off the milk. If we do not get off the milk spiritually, we will be stagnant. What happens in stagnant water? Death. Nothing. It's not good. Life doesn't exist. Well, if my faith has become stagnant, and by the way, that's pretty easy to do at times. We're going to talk about how we keep it from doing that, but when my faith becomes stagnant, it's not moving, it's not stirring, it's in that static area where it's not moving, it's not growing, it's not leading me to do great things, guess what? Then I am spiritually dying. Spiritually dying. I can remember the first time for both of my children that they ate. I mean, it really wasn't solid food. You know, you still have it kind of, but they're not drinking milk anymore or formula anymore. And you know, they get that first taste. And I remember Bo especially, you know, I mean, he loves food, right? And so we gave him that food. He grabbed the spoon. Like, do not take this away from me, woman. This is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. I've been drinking formula. He's not saying that, but that's kind of what's going through it, right? He got that first taste of real food, and he couldn't get enough. Isn't that the way it ought to be spiritually? I mean, think about when you've got that first taste of Jesus Christ, how excited you were. But guess what? Then you started going back to milk. If I'm not where I need to be spiritually, I've gone back to milk. I've regressed from eating the steak, the filet that's cooked perfectly, to drinking the formula, drinking the milk. That doesn't make sense, does it? But we do it. If we do not actively pursue growth, we risk what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 verse 1, drifting away. Listen, I believe in encouragement. I believe that we as Christians need to check on people and need to encourage people and such. But I am 47 years old. For those who don't know, I grew up in the Fairview, Lot Road, Azalea City, all the same place, congregation here. I've been a Christian since I was 16, but I grew up in this church. If a year or so from now I'm not faithful, it's not your fault. It's not. There are people, though, that believe they've been Christians a long time, and something happens. And all of a sudden, somebody's not calling, somebody's not loving, somebody's not encouraging. You know, again, I believe that we ought to encourage when we can encourage, but I cannot be your crutch. We cannot be the crutch that carries you to the finish line. You've seen that picture of that father going out, and again, I get that, but when it comes to judgment, okay, you want to talk about hellfire and brimstone, here it goes. When it comes to judgment, I will be alone. As much as I'd love for my wife to say, no, he's a good guy. Or my children say, no, he's a good father. Or my church family say, no, he was a good minister. Whatever. You know, we can find something good to say about me, I hope. You can't. Because it's me and Jesus. And I need to understand that. I'm not going to throw my salvation away because somebody may have hurt my feelings. I'm going to keep growing. Because if I don't, I run the risk of drifting away. Note, he didn't say the elders caused them to drift away. He didn't say the preacher or the youth minister or the associate minister or the whoever. He said, if you do not do this, you run the risk of drifting away. But the third reason I must grow is because growth prepares us for the work of the kingdom. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Those words sound familiar, don't they? Those words are so powerful. Those words remind us that if I do not want to drift away, I've got to grow up in every way into Jesus Christ. You know what happens? When I grow, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be active. I want to go to work. In fact, it is not just something we desire. It is something that is commanded. Our growth protects us from false teachings. And there are false teachings out there. We've got to know the book. We've got to know the Word of God. But our growth will protect us from that, but it will also help us become effective workers in the kingdom of God. Cody and Justin are both teaching classes that really parallel a lot of ways what our theme is this year, and they complement each other. But in those classes, especially on Wednesday night, we're talking about evangelism. You know, it's evangelism 101. But it also is at times one-on-one. But the reality is we've talked about what are some things that keep us from evangelizing, from telling the story of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things, but I'm going to suggest to you one of those, if not the major one, is we're not growing. So we understand there are three, probably 103 reasons why we must grow. But it leads me to my second question today is, how then do we grow? If I understand the importance of growing, then I have to ask myself, how do I grow? You see, because growth is essential. But the question has to be, how do I cultivate it? Well, the Bible gives us several key practices. Number one, And a lot of these you're going to know, right? We got to abide in the Word of God. John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciples. That's the words of Jesus Christ, by the way. Listen to it again. If you abide in my Word, then you are truly my disciples. And guess what? You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If you hadn't picked up the Word in January or February yet, I'm going to question it. I didn't say it, Jesus did. If you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciples. There can be some false disciples out there. There can be some folks that put the name of Jesus on, and we come to church and we sing these songs and we amen those prayers and we might even listen during the sermon. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to take Jesus Christ with me anymore this week. Folks, it's not that's stagnant. That is not going to get the job done. You see, knowing Christ begins with knowing His Word. So in order to grow, I've got to abide in the Word. Secondly, I've got to be devoted in prayer. Devote ourselves in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Through prayer, we grow because it's in prayer that we are fully confessing how much we need God. You see, that's what prayer is, right? Now, there has to be thanksgiving. We have to be thankful for what God's done. But in that prayer, we're praying to the Almighty. We're praying to the Creator. We're praying to the God of all gods, Yahweh. And we're asking Him to direct our steps. Why? Because the proverb writer said, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own ways. What happens when Terry leans on his own ways? He falls. When I try to do it my way, it fails. But when I do it his way, it will always succeed. Now, it might not succeed in the way I pictured it. It might not succeed in the way I thought it should. But it will succeed. When we pray to God, it is intimate. It is a time when we're saying, I need you, Lord. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, it might be this hour, it might be next hour, it might be all 24 hours. But we need Him every hour. You see, we need God, and He knows that, but He wants to hear it. You want to grow? Surrender it to Him through prayer. Thirdly, how do we grow? By imitating the humility of Jesus Christ. We always go to Philippians 2, right? I think Paul just says it so well there, verses 5 through 7. Have this mind among you. And listen, I love the way, and I've said this before, I love the way the English Standard Version puts it. Listen to this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, get this, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. You understand, he was glory. You understand, Jesus was heaven in heaven. He's God in the flesh. And it came a point in time to be able to accomplish the plan of redemption that he had to give that away. He had to empty that. He surrendered that moment. He surrendered that. He stepped out. He was in the unseen realm and he stepped into the earthly realm. And in order to do that, he said, I emptied myself. Paul said it about him. He gave it up. You know, it would have been okay. I believe it would have been perfectly fine for Jesus to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't. Remember, he's bringing in a new law, and so this is contrary to everything he's going to teach. Remember, he told the woman at the well, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. It's coming a time you don't have to do that anymore. But let's just say he sets up the temple, and it's greater than Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple is pretty amazing. And it costs more than even Solomon's temple. And there's the Holy of Holies. And instead of the Ark of the Covenant, there's a throne. And Jesus Christ sits on that throne. And when it comes to worship, people go in that Holy of Holies and they bow down and they worship Him. I believe it would have been okay because He's the only man we could have bowed down to because He was God. But He made Himself of no reputation. He emptied Himself. And He came in the form of a servant. That's the humility that I've got to imitate. Humility allows us to grow by recognizing our need for God's help and correction. How do we grow? Number four, by being obedient. Reading the Word is one thing. Right? We talked about that at the outset. I got to abide in the Word. To truly be His disciple, I've got to abide in His Word. But I must make it go into action. In fact, James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If you do that, you're deceiving yourselves. We grow when we put our faith into action, serving others, loving our enemies, bearing fruit. Remember what Jesus said about the tree that does not bear fruit? Pretty strong words, right? He said it will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. You listen, again, you can talk about, hey, well, you know, the old preacher preached some hellfire and brimstone today. All I'm doing is quoting Jesus Christ. He said, if you do not grow by putting My Word into action, by bearing fruit, you're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. It's not an option. I've got to be obedient. I've got to serve. I've got to love. I've got to bear fruit. Number five, under how do we grow? By fellowship and encouragement. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let me just remind you there, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10, he's talking about the importance of worship. Why do we come together to worship? Remember Hebrews 10, 25, right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but so much more as we see the day approaching. We can quote that verse, but do we know why we should say, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, don't forsake worship? Because the three reasons before it. Number one, we come together to draw near to God. I'm not here for you. You're not here for me. That's going to come later. But number one, first and foremost, we draw near to God. You and I are not the audience. We're not here to entertain each other. We're here to perform our worship for God. Secondly, we're here to strengthen our grip. You see, I've got a faith, right? Well, I'm going to strengthen my grip on my faith. So when I draw near to God, I'm going to strengthen my grip. But then thirdly, you know why I'm here? Listen to what he said. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I'm here for each other. I'm here to encourage and to be encouraged. You know where that comes in? It doesn't come in worship. Listen, don't get me wrong. Your singing encourages me. Your prayers encourage me. It helps strengthen my faith. But remember, it's not about me there. It's about God. You know where the strength comes in? In fellowship. From 10 to 10:30, the elders have set aside a time. And listen, I get it. If I'm not going to come to Bible class, that's a good safety time for me to get here. Let's just call it what it is. While I'm calling it out, let's just call it out. Oh, that's a buffer time. You know, hey, I ain't going to Sunday school today, but I got 10 to 10:30. I can get there. The elders set that aside for fellowship. And listen, don't get me wrong. coffee is not fellowship. Snacks are not fellowship. Do I think that they help draw people to it? Yeah. But you can fellowship in here. You can fellowship out there. What we do not need to do is sit as bumps on the logs and not talk to anybody. Do you know that's how the church grew? We talk about all the time, let's be the first century church. You know what Luke said? He said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the Word of God. They were getting it directly from the Holy Spirit. What was number two? Oh, yeah. Fellowship. If I do not fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, you could... Listen, I do like the Chiefs. And I do want Pat Mahomes to get that. I really like Andy Reid. And by the way, the Eagles did him wrong. But he's built a dynasty in the Chiefs. But you might could care less about any of that. And really, when it's all said and done, I'm not going to lose any sleep over whoever wins or loses. Chances are, if I were at home, I would watch the Super Bowl, but I'd probably be distracted. Do you know why I'm going to be here tonight? Not because of the Super Bowl. Not because of how many times they go show Taylor Swift on there. Not because they're going to be commercials, even and seeing if Elon really purchased those. Because of the fellowship. Now, some people can't get out at night, and listen, I'm not going to guilt you into it, okay? But that's why I'm going to be here. Because there are a lot of good people I need to be around. And listen, I got to go, I know. You think I'm almost done, but I'm not. Number three, what happens when we grow? Our final question, what happens when we grow? We put it all together, right? It's not just for our benefit, even though it is for our benefit. In fact, it's not only for my benefit, it's for me to get to heaven. But it's not just for my benefit, it's going to transform lives around me and bring glory back to God. Number one, what happens when we grow? We develop Christ-like character. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Growth manifests itself. It makes known itself in our attitudes, in our words, in our relationships. How's my attitude? How are the words? You know, some of my least favorite times, and I try really hard at this, is when I pick my children up from school, who I've not seen in 7 hours, and I'm not in a good mood. Something may have happened. Something may have not gone my way. It's not their fault, and I try so hard to fight that because I want my attitude to be full of joy, to be full of excitement. And listen, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to not take the job home with us or when we leave here to take it to the restaurant or, you know, whatever it may be. But growth is going to help develop my Christ-like character more and more. Secondly, we gain deeper knowledge of God's will. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm not Jesus Christ and will never pretend to be. So in other words, I'm not the judge. But I try to, and listen, I don't have a thou shalt for this, okay? But I try to see the way He taught. You remember when He taught His disciples, the first disciples, Peter, James, Andrew, John, the fishermen? You remember what they were doing? They had fished all night. and they caught no fish. You remember what he told them to do? Launch into the deep. I don't know that shallow faith is enough. I don't know that shallow Bible knowledge is enough. Again, I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to pretend to be. But I don't want to take that risk. So I want to have a deep knowledge of God's will. A deeper understanding. Why? So that I can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Growth in knowledge helps us make godly decisions. It helps us resist temptation and not listen to the deception of the devil. Thirdly, we strengthen our faith and our endurance. James 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. When we grow, we become spiritually strong. As a strength coach or a guy that knows a little bit about weightlifting, you know when the growth happens? When the muscles are torn down. You go and you exercise and you put them to the test and they tear down a little bit. And then amazingly, they grow back a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger and a little bit of everything. You see, when we're put through the trials, that's when the growth is happening. That's when we're able to stand strong because we're prepared for it. Finally, number four under this point, what happens when we grow? This really concludes it all, and it sums up everything. We bring glory to God. Matthew 5:16, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. A life of continual growth in grace and knowledge like Peter challenged us, as we said last week, will reflect Christ's light to the entire world. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about bringing glory to God. Growth is not optional. It's the very essence of discipleship. So I want you to ask yourselves three questions as we close. Number one, and be honest with yourself. If you're not, if you can't be honest with yourself, then this isn't going to work. Number one, am I growing in my knowledge of Jesus? Number two, is my life displaying more grace, kindness, and patience today than it was yesterday or last week or fill in the blank? Number three, am I more like Jesus today than I was a year ago? Or put a time frame on it. Am I growing in the knowledge of Jesus? Am I displaying more grace, kindness, patience, joy, love? Am I more like Jesus today than I was a year ago? 2 Peter 1:5-8, and we'll turn it over to you. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Four, if these qualities are yours, and you are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you a member? The answer today is, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. If you're not growing and you need to change it, you need to repent, you need to do something publicly, you need to ask for prayers, the opportunity is about to be yours. Am I a Christian or am I not? Have I been baptized or have I not? If the answer to that is yes, keep on. If the answer to that is no, we have the opportunity to change it. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now? Together we stand and sing.